Last time we met, this is again me talking now. I included a quote from Nisargadatta Maharaj as recorded in his book, I Am That. And I'm about to quote him again, if you don't mind. Nisargadatta was born in India in 1897, just 2 years after Krishnamurti's birth. Krishnamurti was born in 95. So they were of the same generation in India. He grew up in a small village where his father was a farmer with two brothers and four sisters. His father died when he was 18, after which he moved to Bombay, where he worked as a clerk to support his family back home. But not long thereafter, he opened a small retail business, married, and had four children of his own. I'm telling you this so that you know that during his early years, he lived an ordinary life, much like the rest of us. At age 36, however, things changed when he was introduced to a local guru for the first time. According to Nisargadatta, at their first meeting, this guru said to him, "You are not what you assume yourself to be." He then gave him instructions for self-inquiry, which he followed verbatim thereafter. So he was teachable in this way, one might say. "My guru told me to attend the sense of I am," he later said, "and give attention to nothing else. I did not follow any particular pattern of breathing or meditation or study of scriptures. But regardless of what happened," this is the essential point, "I turned my attention away from the happening and remained with the sense of I am. My only reason for doing this was that my guru told me so." Yet it worked. From then on, following his guru's instructions, he spent his spare time in silence, looking inwardly at himself, and remained in this meditative state for many years. To be clear, this is a rare case, and therefore not the case for most of us, including JC. But I'm citing it here to point out that what can come into being, excuse me, from a state of true meditation. "My guru told me," he later said, "to go back to the state of pure being, where the I am is still in its purity, before it was burdened with false self-identifications, and abandon them all. Trust me," his guru said, "you are divine. Your joy is divine. Your suffering is divine too. All comes from God. Remember this always." I believed him. Nisargadatta said, and I soon thereafter realized how wonderfully true and accurate were his words. I no longer conditioned my mind with mantras like "I am God," "I am wonderful," "I am beyond." Instead, I simply followed his instruction, which was to focus the mind on nothing other than pure being, on I am. I used to sit for hours with nothing but the I am in my mind. And not long thereafter, peace, joy, and deep, all-embracing love became my normal state. In it, everything disappeared: myself, my guru, the life I lived, the world around me. Only peace remained and unfathomable silence. This is how Nisargadatta described what Krishnamurti called the way of true meditation, a way to finding or learning of the truth of what is and of who we truly are, or as Miles said, what we truly are, which is the I am of conscious being. It is a case in the extreme, to be sure, but a light in the tunnel for the rest of us, nevertheless. Just as with Krishnamurti, Nisargadatta did not prescribe a specific practice or ritual to attain self-knowledge, nor did he say that anyone should hold to or believe in anything that appears of mind, because all of that is conceptual. But rather he said, cease to pretend to be what you are not. And in the process, cease to deny what you truly are. Until you know your true self, you will continue to suffer. All life arises from the same non-dual source in the eternally present now. And the way of meditation to discover this truth is Nisargadatta's core message to us all. It seems one might safely say that this was Krishnamurti's underlying core message as well. Find out what is true within yourself, and the false dies away of its own accord. The following is a quote from Krishnamurti that in essence makes this same point in this way. And we'll end with this. To truly meditate, Krishnamurti said, the mind must be completely still. And in that total stillness, there is no watcher, no observer, and therefore no experiencer. There is no separate entity who is gathering information or gaining experience, a process that is rooted in the activity of self-centered mind. True meditation purges the mind of its self-centered activity, allowing for the possibility for that which is timeless to come into being. And again, meditation is the movement of peace. It is not an end to be found. It is not put together by thought or words. The action of meditation is intelligence. Excuse me. Meditation is none of those things you've been taught or experienced. The ending of what you have learned or experienced via the mind is meditation. Freedom from experience is meditation. This cannot be demonstrated or described. You are no judge of peace. You will be aware of it, if it is there, during the activities of your daily life. The order, the virtue of your life will be present. And you will simply be aware. This is essentially what Nisargadatta pointed to as well.